Do you see the Luke building? Stand facing it. Now turn left into the street leading to the city center, and then walk straight on. We have only brushed the city center so far. We have crept around it and towards it. Now we are getting to the core. Our eyes must now become adjusted to a different light. We want to learn how to look when we want to see what doesn't want to be seen. We want to look at how the city is built, what materials it is made of, read how it is labeled, what it says clearly and what is less clear, what can be interpreted. For example, do you see the two signs at the entrance to the car park? Stop for a moment at the side of the pavement. Look at them. Mittendrin, right in the middle, Bochum City. So that you know where you're standing, where you're going, what to expect. And next to it, Dr. Ruhrplatz. How many free spots are there today? We have read. Now, as a little introductory exercise, notice the signs. Their low height, for example. Someone thought it would be better to create facts outside already, so that no one makes a mistake. The car park is low. This fact starts at the sign. The form demonstrates what is written on the sign. And when the form creates facts, there is no way through. Denial is futile. Now walk past the car park's entrance. You see the concrete bollard. That too, a fact, an obstacle, so that no one gets lost, behind the wheel, for example. Carefully cross the narrow road to the square that opens up in front of you. And then walk straight on. Do you see that little church up ahead? Go in its direction. Do you see the spherical statue on the round fountain? When you get to the sphere, stand near it for a moment. Look again at your whole environment. While looking, you could count the streetlights, for example. Do they make the street bright? Or do they illuminate you? Look around you. There is hardly an environment that is so thoroughly designed and planned as urban public space. From paths, surfaces and signs, to bollards, barriers and the city's furniture, such as benches, litter bins and lighting. You only have to look around and take a closer look. An important question you could ask in the city is whether the environment is inviting and who it invites to what, or who is disinvited from that environment. This question, that is the question of how to keep unwelcome users and bodies out of public space, has been addressed for several decades by an entire field of practice, the field of so-called defensive architecture. Under this practice, a whole repertoire of design strategies is implemented, with which, for example, homeless people are prevented from using certain places as places to sleep. This is done, for example, by adding the notorious spikes or concrete knobs on the floor, in front of shops or in overly cozy alcoves. Small floor designs that are meant to keep out unwelcome animals as well as people. And since the 19th century, public lighting has also been an important instrument for the regulation of public space. For it has always served primarily to help the police keep a better eye on the urban population, rather than to help inhabitants find their way around better or more safely in the dark. In addition to light designs for the screening of squares, there is also the active expulsion from squares. For example, by blasting public spaces with classical music or high-frequency disturbing noises, which for many make a longer stay in such places maddening and thus impossible. All of these forms of defensive architecture have one thing in common, namely that the design objects take on police functions. A lantern as a street warden, a weatherproof sound system as an enforcer of curfew hours, or spiky floor tiles as night watch in front of shops. Instead of human law enforcement officers who address their fellow citizens, issue expulsions or supervise the public space, architecture and design regulate the inner cities at all times, and almost imperceptibly, subtly, silently. Individual parts of a public order carrying out a designed program. Space, form, and things. Police agents of an idea of the city. And what are these attempts at defense actually directed against? Against public nuisances, graffiti and street art, skating, idleness, public sleeping or socializing. Of all things, combating these practices quickly became one of the most important fields of action for architecture and urban planning. The result? The inner cities of today, often sterile and latently hostile, uniform up to exclusive, in the literal sense of the word, exclusionary. From the form of the city, we can deduce for whom it is intended and for whom it is not. From the things, we read their idea. Now, take a quick look at the people around you. Do you think they are aware of what the city is doing to them? Or are they busy with something else, for example, with the role that was written for them? Good, we want to move on. Go past the church so that it's on your right and down the road to the main road. Cross the road carefully. While you're crossing it, do you see the bench right in front of you? How long do you think you could sit here or sleep? Then on the pavement, turn left. A little further on, stop between Drehscheibe and City Point. Look around from there. Do you see this bridge in the air over the pedestrian precinct between Drehscheibe and City Point? Good. Now imagine that this overpass is a box in the theater, with a good view, with perspective. From there you look down, from there you see. The stage is ready with light, sound and space, and the performers are in play. Notice them. If we look at the city as a stage, as a film set, or as the site of a performance, then its artifacts, or the lanterns, benches, litter bins, are, as it were, or props. By their design, the variation of the pieces we can perform in urban space is already strongly predetermined. In this light, the question arises as to who actually decides on these props, whether one might need other props or even have to produce them oneself if one wants the program or the cast to change. What kind of play is actually being performed here? Who has the leading and supporting roles? Who are the extras, and who exactly decides on the program? The search for answers to these questions can lead to interesting insights, as can the questions of who decides on the decor, whether the stage builders are unionized, how much the entrance fee is, and so on. The city is not just our stage. It is, as the French Marxist Henri Lefebvre said, first and foremost, our factory. Here we do not play, but work. Urban space is a machine room, not a backdrop. Cities are therefore not only stages, but at least also places of manufacturing of the social. So, if the city is both a factory and a theater at the same time, our gaze must be directed to what happens behind the scenes, what actually happens on the backstages and backstage, the places that usually remain hidden and invisible at the back of the city. Direct your gaze at the pedestrian precinct, below our box. Do you see the underground entrance to Bochum Rathaus Nord? Go down the street under the overpass to the entrance. When you reach the entrance, this track ends. Just stand in front of the entrance and play the next track.